Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. I'm Jason Powell here with a review of the October 31st, 2011 WWE Raw Show. Before we get into it, though, breaking news this morning. Evan Bourne has been suspended for 30 days for violating the WWE wellness policy. And no details, and I don't know if we'll ever get any because WWE doesn't release more information than that. But they did announce it this morning, and Evan Bourne out of the picture for 30 days, which, you know, I guess it explains why Bourne and Kofi Kingston lost back-to-back non-title matches. I don't know if WWE would have had the results last week when they lost their match on SmackDown to R-Truth and The Miz, but I assume they had it last night, and when Kingston and Bourne lost, I just sat there scratching my head going, back-to-back non-title losses, and I'm left scratching my head again today going, well, geez, if he's going to be suspended 30 days, why not do some, you know, do a tag title switch? And apparently they've decided not to go that route, and I don't know how they'll explain it on television, if they'll just dance around the fact that Evan Bourne isn't there. They really, you know, I guess they could claim he was injured or something for storyline purposes, but just an odd decision by WWE to make them look pretty weak and then keep the tag titles on them after all. We'll, you know, we'll see if we get more information on Bourne's situation, but it generally, once you hear of the suspension, it stays, you know, pretty quiet unless somebody takes to Twitter, as one of the suspended wrestlers recently did. A couple of things to plug also before we get into the show. .NET members are listening to a nearly 85-minute audio interview that I conducted with Justin Credible, a.k.a. PJ Polacco. It's a recent interview. He discusses his stay in WWE rehab, how the process works, whether the company keeps in contact. Talks about a wrestler who was actually assigned to him who had been through the same process and was helping him out early on. And also the Scott Hall piece that aired on ESPN's E60 program, his own career resurrection, and much more, including the early days of hanging with the Click. He was good friends with, and still is, with various members of the Click, including Scott Hall, Shawn Michaels, Triple H, and Sean Waltman as well, Kevin Nash, I think to a lesser extent, but they are friendly and whatnot. But that one, I've heard nothing but positive feedback from .NET members who have checked it out already. So if you're interested in signing up for membership, you want to hear audio like this all the time, become a .NET member right now. Head on over to ProWrestling.net if you're listening on iTunes. You can't miss the sign-up area right there on the right side of the screen, and you can have ad-free access to the site for as little as $5.50 a month if you take that annual option. If you just want to try it out for a month, listen to all the audio we've got on there and move on. It's only $7.50 to try for 1 month. And there are tons of interviews over there, including former TNA creative team member Dutch Mantel granted his first interview after he left the company to us, and he actually came back for a second interview. Former WWE creative team members Court Bauer and Seth Nates have both dropped by. Seth joining me for WrestleMania audio a couple of years in a row. Maybe there was a one-year gap in there, but he joined us for a couple of WrestleMania audios, and Court Bauer has stopped by to talk about various things, including his stint with WWE. Conan, Dawn Marie, X-Pac joined. It was a simulcast between Wade Keller and I of the Torch, and we all reviewed audio together. Sinister Minister, Jim Mitchell, Brock Lesnar, Marty Garner, a childhood friend of the Hardys, discussing how he, you know, just how that, how he became friends with them in the early days of the Hardys and his own career. Shane Hurricane Helms recently stopped by to discuss his motorcycle accident and his full career in a two-hour interview that we ended up doing. We meant to go an hour. Next thing I know, it's 2 hours later. And that very good interview there that I was came away very happy with, thanks to Shane's effort, and many more. And I should also add Michelle Dighton, former WWE Tough Enough contestant, and she really unloaded. She wasn't afraid to kind of reveal the behind-the-scenes dirt regarding that television show. So if those interviews jump out at you and you want to hear them again, just head on over to ProWrestling.net and sign up today, and you'll have access to all of those, plus the weekly audio reviews of the various television shows, including WWE Raw, TNA Impact Wrestling, and WWE SmackDown. Plus, we review each and every pay-per-view in audio form, and we also have weekly Q&A sessions in which Chris Shore and I both answer the .NET member pro wrestling questions and have some non-wrestling fun at the end. And, of course, the .NET weekly audio show, the flagship audio show of ProWrestling.net, where Chris Shore and I get together and analyze all the news of the week and oftentimes include first-run news, and the .NET countdown show with Jake Barnett and Will Pruitt counting up the counting down the top five best and worst moments of the week. So hopefully you'll take advantage of that. Tons of audio. You're obviously into it if you're listening to this, so why not get hours upon hours each and every week. Raw is Muppets. Muppets are Raw, whatever the hell you want to call it. We got a lot of the Muppets last night. Here's the thing. I liked the Muppets when I was a kid. You know, I mean, I had fun. It was more my younger brother's thing. They were just at that age, and so they were really into it, and I'd go along for the ride and laugh a little bit while watching the show. And, you know, it kind of ended there. I don't go see the Muppet movies when they come out. My girlfriend may drag me to this one. I'm not sure. But, you know, I don't have a strong dislike for the Muppets or anything, unlike Wade Keller, who I'll be guest hosting. Or I don't even know what the hell my role on that show is. Wade's the host. I'm just the guy who shows up on Tuesday. The PW Torch livecast on blogtalkradio.com at 4:30 Central, 5:30 Eastern today. Your calls are welcome. More free audio if you're interested. And Wade just got this, like, intense hatred of all things Muppets. And so I don't fall into that category, but I didn't need to see them on Raw. And for some people, they loved it. I got some emails from people who loved it. I got emails from people who hated it. I think if you're a Muppets fan, you probably enjoyed this. And if you just are indifferent when it comes to the Muppets, you're like, why are the Raw wrestlers talking to the Muppets? And I certainly understand, you know, when watching the Muppet Show back in the day, celebrities go on there and they sing with them and they interact with the Muppets, and that's fine. I mean, that's the show. But I just don't need to see that on Raw. I think it makes the show look even campier. And again, I know for people who dig it, I know Will Pruitt absolutely loved it, and he'll be, I'm sure, raving about it in the .NET Countdown show later this week, actually tomorrow. And that's fine. I mean, it just didn't work for me at all. And you know, not that there weren't a couple of clever moments, especially Beaker and Sheamus, but I just don't have the love for the Muppets that some people do, so it didn't do anything for me. But we'll start at the top of the show. We got The Rock's music playing very quickly, right? Michael Cole introduced the show quickly, and then it went right to Rock. He was only appearing, you know, via tape, basically, and he was at an outdoor location looking bigger than ever and talking about John Cena inviting him to team with him to face R-Truth and The Miz. He initially said no, and I'm like, oh, cool, they're going to drag this out, and then they'll do something maybe at that go-home show. It'll be a little late, but, you know, they've already advertised Rock's wrestling, so maybe they'll drag this out and come up with an angle that helps make this a little more plausible. But no, I mean, by the end of the promo, Rock had agreed that he would team with him. He basically explained that he was doing this because of a lot of people wanted to see it, including Cena's fans on Twitter. There was only so much sense The Rock could make out of this. It really doesn't make any sense. There isn't a good storyline reason for Rock and Cena to team together. The Miz and R-Truth are not such a threat to WWE. They're no threat to WWE. I really thought this was going to be because WWE, they were teasing the NWO on the website, and I thought, well, you know, maybe that's the idea. You've got Kevin Nash doing something with The Miz and R-Truth and throwing another guy or two, and next thing you know, you've got a force that's going after, you know, trying to take down WWE, and Rock and Cena join forces for the good of the company. And, you know, I wasn't crazy about the idea of the NWO returning in 2011, but at least that would have made some sense why they decided to join forces. I mean, I guess Rock also said he wanted John Cena to kind of see a foot away while standing outside the ring the electricity that is The Rock. But, just storyline-wise, this company's in a bad place. I mean, they can't even book Rock and Cena properly. Miz and R-Truth look so weak. We'll certainly get to that as we get through that main event. But, I mean, for Christ's sake, if Cena isn't having any problem taking those two out by himself, the hell does he need The Rock for? But the promo was, it was fine. But by Rock standards, you know, when you think, hey, Rock's going to open Raw with a promo that's going to be, what, 5 minutes, I'm guessing? I don't even know. I don't even recall how long it was. But he's going to, you know, get a little bit of time, and he's going to set something up for Survivor Series. you'd think, wow, this is going to be red hot. You know, you would have. You know, he's been on the show quite a bit. Not lately, but since he announced that he was back in WWE for good, it didn't feel, by the end of the show, it was like, oh yeah, Rock was on. It wasn't something that stuck with me, like a lot of the Rock's promos do. And, I mean, it was fine, and I really do blame a lot of it on the fact that there's only so much he can really, you know, there's only, how do you save this? How do you make this seem like it's even a threat, you know, Miz and Truth? And they tried to have Jerry Lawler paint the picture that, well, you know, he's picking Miz and Truth because he doesn't know if Rock and Cena can coexist, basically. I mean, that's certainly the story you tell, but I just think it would be so much more effective if Miz and R-Truth were in a position where people took them seriously. I mean, this really does feel like DX against Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase at SummerSlam, where it's just, well, maybe they'll surprise us and do something, but, you know, it just looks like it's going to be an ass-kicking. And in this case, I mean, you're ordering the show to see if they can coexist, basically. I just wish that the heels were stronger going in, but it is what it is, and they just keep dropping the ball in that area. We got CM Punk and Mark Henry coming out for their match, and the announcers explained why it was happening, what the ramifications were, and then John Laurinaitis quickly came out and established to the live crowd as well that Punk had to beat Mark Henry in order to get a WWE Championship match. That didn't happen. Mark Henry beat CM Punk by DQ in a non-title match in 2 minutes and 30 seconds. Alberto Del Rio and Ricardo Rodriguez walked to ringside. Del Rio orders Ricardo to enter the ring. Ricardo looks a little reluctant, but eventually goes in and just starts punching Mark Henry's back. And the referee, and then, oh, and then that wasn't enough, so he had to take his shoe off and hit Henry with it. And that's when the referee called for the DQ. So Del Rio getting out of, you know, trying to avoid facing CM Punk at the pay-per-view. That was the idea here. And Del Rio fled, and Punk ended up throwing Ricardo inside the ring, where Mark Henry performed the World's Strongest Slam. And then Cole said that Punk would not get a title shot at Survivor Series. And the only thing I don't care for about this is that I continue to say Ricardo is a little too likable. And I mean, I enjoy the Ricardo Rodriguez character. I think he's great. And now, my opinion, you know, the average fan out there they may not like this guy, but I just think that if WWE is going to have him be the fall guy consistently for Alberto Del Rio, taking finishers from the baby faces, they need to make him a little less likable. They need to put some heat on him, because even in this, he was reluctant to go in there. He was just doing what he was told. And yeah, I mean, it's a, you know, there's something heelish about a guy who just does everything he's told, but it's not nearly heelish enough for my money. So that's the issue I have there. But then we got Cole hyping his challenge for Jim Ross and the Muppets, and then we went to a commercial, and we did get a commercial hyping The Rock for the 3-hour Raw that will take place in a couple of weeks. And it's the show in Boston. It was originally labeled as a Rock reunion show, and now it's being called Raw Gets Rocked. And they were advertising Mick Foley on both the WWE website and the Arena website. That changed. They pulled him from both, but they were still running television spots in Boston, as I had my report last night. One of our .NET reader pointed out that, yeah, they're still advertising Mick Foley for this show, and I double-checked to make sure, because I wanted to see, well, is it dated advertising? They still going with the Rock reunion? And the reader said no. It was labeled the Raw Gets Rocked, so it looked like it was, you know, relatively new advertising. So they may have just pulled him off the two websites to try to leave us guessing, I guess. But I do expect Mick Foley to be there. No inside info, aside from the fact that, well, a little bit. I mean, he had been telling people recently that he was planning to be at that Raw, and I believe the Raw after Survivor Series. And he did tell someone that he had a conflict with the Survivor Series. But if you look at his latest schedule, he is actually doing a post-pay-per-view stand-up comedy routine at a venue in New York. And so I don't know if something changed, if he was intentionally misleading the person that he told that he had a conflict on Survivor Series Day or not. But I do expect him at the very least to be at the 3-hour Raw show. We got our first dose of the Muppets. Kermit the Frog and Miss Piggy were introduced, and they had kind of like a podium they built on the stage to, you know, so that the puppeteers or whatever you want to call them could do their thing. Vicky Guerrero and Jack Swagger walked out and complained about the Muppets stealing their TV time, and Swagger told them to leave, and Piggy told them, make us, and Kermit backed down and said they didn't want trouble from Swagger or his mother, referring to Vicky, and Piggy and Vicky then exchanged, excuse me and excuse moi lines, and, again, you know, if you like the Muppets, you liked it. If you, are indifferent like I am, it's like, really, you're having these, characters go out there and talk to the Muppets like they're real. It's kind of hard to take the heels seriously when that happens. Santino Marella came out and told the heels not to pick on his Muppet friends, and he and Swagger could go to the ring and do their thing. And Swagger closed Kermit's mouth so that he couldn't talk, and then Santino also announced that Dolph Ziggler would face Zack Ryder in a singles match. Kermit and Piggy did a very warped version of Ryder's catchphrase. I think Kermit was saying, like, whoa, 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 instead of woo, woo, woo. At least that's how I heard it. I didn't care enough to go back and rewind, to be honest with you. Kelly came out dressed, and I think it was a Three Musketeer costume, and gave Kermit a kiss, and Piggy got all pissed. And then Cole hyped a Divas Battle Royal for after the break, and that Divas Battle Royal saw Eve win it and to earn a shot at the Divas Championship. I assume that's for Survivor Series. And all the Divas, there were 10 of them. They were all dressed up. Caitlin was like Joe Dirt or something. She was, I was not the most flattering costume for Caitlin. And, it came down to Natalya against Eve, Kelly, and Alicia. Alicia and Kelly were eliminated, but then Eve pushed Natalya through the ropes and to the floor for the win. And, I do have to say, I'm normally fine with Divas going through the ropes rather than over, because a lot of the Divas aren't that talented in the ring. Natalya is good enough that I think she could handle the over-the-top rope spot. Just a pet peeve of mine. We got more Muppets, Beaker, and Professor Bunsen Honeydew. Yes, I did have to look up some of the names. I knew who Beaker was, but I couldn't remember the professor's name. Beaker was sent out with a container that Christian took from him. This was like some potion they were concocting for Santino. And it did come into play later. Sheamus showed up and scared Christian away and told Beaker that he can't make the family reunion this year. And then he straightened Beaker's hair to look like his own. That was the one I wanted to see. Sheamus and Beaker. I think a lot of people just, you know, they look similar. And so they did a fun job with that. Assuming you can get over the fact that, you know, these supposedly serious guys were talking with Muppets. I did get a funny tweet from somebody. I hope they're trying to be funny, pointing out that, you know, Muppet fans who tuned into the show also think it's odd that they're talking to these fake wrestlers, essentially. But Kofi Kingston and Evan Bourne then came out, and they went to a commercial break. And in the third match, Cody Rhodes and Wade Barrett defeated Evan Bourne and Kofi Kingston in a non-title match in 5:30. This one saw Wade Barrett ended up hitting his Wasteland finisher on Evan for the win. Good match, especially down the stretch. It was there was an odd spot at the end. I think Barrett, I don't know if he was legit hurt or was trying to sell, but it looked like Cody, the finish was that Wade had to, you know, stop. Evan was going to the top rope and Wade Barrett had to go over there and pull him off and then hit his finisher. And it looked like Cody was worried that Wade was going to be late because he started to head in that direction, and Wade Barrett stood up and did indeed hit his finisher to get the pin. So, the tag team champions lose again, and apparently that'll be the last time we see Mr. Bourne for the next 30 days. I did have someone ask me on Twitter, do you think we'll get a tag team tournament to crown new champions? Like, they stripped Kofi and Evan Bourne of the titles, and, like, I mean, I guess anything's possible, but there are no tag teams in WWE other than, like, the Uso brothers and Air Boom. I mean, you know, they've got some makeshift tag teams, but if they did go that route, it would have to be like a four-team thing, maybe even a two-team thing. Wouldn't be much of a tournament. After the match, Christian ran out and attacked Kofi, and then Sheamus ran out and beat up all the heels, basically, and cleared the ring. And then Statler and Waldorf were shown in a luxury box. They did a bit where one of them acted like he was hard of hearing and remarked that we've gone from Stone Cold to Stone Age. Ba-dum-bump. And I was like, really? These are two of the guys that, you know, if I have to have Muppets on Raw, I want to see them. And that was what we got. Fortunately, we got a little bit more later, but they really didn't live up to my expectations, I got to say. Backstage, CM Punk accused John Laurinaitis of sabotaging him so he would have to jump through hoops. Laurinaitis said he'd give Punk his title match as long as Alberto Del Rio agreed to give it to him. I'm like, what? Punk said that was fair enough and slapped Laurinaitis on the back, and Laurinaitis just kept right on texting. And my issue here was, like, Punk seemed way too content with that, and I'm like, well, maybe he's got some kind of plan, but it really didn't come through that way. He ultimately did have that plan, as we found out later in the show, but I just thought they would have done something to make it seem like, you know, a light bulb went off, and Punk was totally fine with this because he was had this something concocted to make that happen. But maybe I'm just expecting too much foreshadowing from WWE as we normally get. And we got the first announcement of Alberto Del Rio facing Big Show for after the break. And then we got a Brodus Clay vignette after that commercial. And he's calling himself the Fall of Humanity. And the video package said that he will be on Raw next week. Does that mean he's going to be a Raw wrestler? Hard to say, because Raw's a super show after all, and they've been airing his vignettes on both shows. So I don't know where he ends up. I am curious to see how similar to the Mark Henry character he is. WWE has to be careful, I think, to not make him a clone unless they're going to do something where they put them together. You know, it's just he's the. I mean, that's just how I envision Brodus Clay, this ass-kicking monster, and I think the vignettes are certainly giving that impression as well. So, I'm all for having more badass heels around in WWE instead of all these weak heels that they have, the chicken shit heels. But you don't want two guys that are that similar. I guess, why not have two guys that similar the more I think about it, when every other heel not named Mark Henry is the same? We got Big Show defeating Alberto Del Rio in a non-title match in 1350. It's not a good time to be a champion in WWE unless you're Mark Henry, because I think just about all of them have now lost in non-title matches. Dolph Ziggler would meet the same fate, and it's just not a good time. Cody Rhodes getting beat by Randy Orton in a non-title match recently. I think Mark Henry's like the only guy who hasn't lost a non-title match recently, the only champion. It's stunning. I don't know why they want their champions to look weak. I mean, I get the idea that some heel champions should look vulnerable so people pay money to see them, and with the idea that they're going to see a title change, but I don't think they're really generating that thought in people's head. I don't think people are saying, man, this guy's about to lose. I got to go see that. I really don't sense that's the case. It was kind of slow to start. They did a spot where both men were on their knees and trading jabs at one another. And then right when it was time for that to conclude with Alberto Del Rio hitting a kick, I think he jumped up and was hit Big Show with a running kick. Now that's when the camera cut to the crowd. I did have someone email me and say, well, that's it. The woman they showed is actually from the TV show Glee. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't watch Glee, but I'll have to trust Adam Wright was the one who sent that in. If it was, still not a good time to cut away. odd choice by WWE. And the reason I'm really, did they ever point her out later in the show? You'd think they would. Maybe I missed something. But if they didn't, why would you show her and then not acknowledge her later? But the finish here, what the hell was the finish here? We did get some dueling Let's Go Big Show and Del Rio chants, and Lawler stressed how show isn't 100% following the ring collapse. They went to a commercial. When they came back, Del Rio was getting in plenty of offense, but Del Rio ended up taking a knockout punch and being pinned clean. And then the announcer stressed that Del Rio had Big Show on the ropes the entire match. So it seemed like Lawler, I don't think he knew the finish, because he was making it seem like, boy, poor Big Show, he's just not himself. And then they had to spin it into, oh, but Del Rio went, it was just they went tooth and nail, basically. You know, and boy, Del Rio really put in a good showing, and he can't have it both ways. CM Punk's music played afterward. He came out, he walked by Big Show, and they kind of exchanged looks, with Big Show kind of smirking and walking away. And then Punk headed to the ring, sat down next to Del Rio, and woke him up by dousing him with water. And told him that he was going to apply the Anaconda Vice until Del Rio agreed to give him a championship match in Survivor Series. And that's exactly what happened. And Del Rio did quickly yell that Punk has his match. So there you go. That's how CM Punk earned his title match. Backstage, we got Fozzy and Gonzo talking about how easy it is to become WWE champion. Vicky Guerrero, Jack Swagger, and Dolph Ziggler showed up, and they pulled Gonzo's arms, and they stretched so they could wrap around his head, and Gonzo says, "How did they know I needed an adjustment?" Ba-dum-bump. Hey, if you get a kick out of that, then you have to like Michael Cole's Depends joke. I'm sorry, you do. I mean, yeah, the mean-spirited part of Michael Cole's Depends joke is ridiculous. It's just they keep taking things out on Jim Ross, and God knows why. But it's the same kind of humor, basically. So I don't think you can have it both ways unless you acknowledge, well, it's just mean-spirited, and that's why I didn't like it. But then we got the announcers hyping John Cena versus The Miz as a WrestleMania rematch. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's right. That match does not feel special. That match does not feel WrestleMania worthy because they haven't done anything with Miz. I mean, he's been around and he's done. I mean, he just hasn't meant nearly as much since he lost the WWE Championship. And obviously, The Rock was such a big factor in that match. And I think that's the only reason that match even took place was because they knew they had The Rock involved. Then we got the WrestleMania tickets go on sale Saturday to the general public. We'll see if we get the password for the pre-sale, as we usually do. And then the camera decided, they decided this is the time to show some fans who are dressed up in costume for Halloween. And the highlight of this was there was a fan dressed up like Hulk Hogan, and Jerry Lawler says, "That's scary." And so there you go. They get a little shot in at Hulk Hogan. And the announcers set up footage from the Muppets movie. And then we got Animal introduced as the guest timekeeper, and he rang the bell repeatedly, as you would expect him to do. I was like Animal. I'm kind of disappointed when it gave a little more Animal, but it was fine for what it was. Yes, I'm okay. Again, I didn't want the Muppets on the show, but if they had to be there, I'd like to have seen a little more Animal. Fifth match was Santino Marella beating Jack Swagger with Vicky Guerrero in 2:35. This was all out cornball comedy. That energy drink came into play. Santino drank it, but ended up spitting it into Swagger's eyes, and he rolled him up and got the pin. So, Santino, I expected a lot of Santino. I also expected a lot of Vicky Guerrero interaction with the Muppets. The issue I have is that it's what I keep saying about Dolph Ziggler needing to get the hell away from Vicky Guerrero. They treat her like a comedy character, and she's good at it. But if Dolph's going to climb that ladder, either Vicky needs to be portrayed differently, or Dolph needs to get away from her, or he's going to be stuck in the same mid-card comedy stuff. We got the announcers hyping the main event. They went to a commercial. And then the sixth match was Zack Ryder defeating Dolph Ziggler in a non-title match in 8 minutes and 50 seconds. We got Cole pimping Twitter, and now he was a trending topic last week. I will say they did a better job of just, you know, casually working in Twitter this week. I didn't leave the show feeling like Twitter was the biggest star in the company like I did last week. But Ryder ended up dominating the first couple minutes, and they went to commercial when they came back. Ryder pinned Ziggler, but Dolph had his leg under the rope. The referee realized what happened and restarted the match. It was what should have happened at Bound for Glory, but didn't. And Ryder ended up hitting the Rough Rider and scoring the clean pin in the middle of the ring, and then Vicky screamed over the result at ringside. This was a very pro Zack Ryder crowd. There are some crowds where it seems like you get that, 20% of the fans are really excited to see Ryder and the 80% don't care. This was a definitely a pro Ryder crowd, so maybe it's starting to catch on, but something to keep an eye on because it does seem like he's more popular in some places than others for whatever reason. And then the announcers, after commercial break, they set up a video of Triple H and the Kevin Nash saga, and the announcers sat at ringside and said that Triple H will be out of action for at least 5 more weeks. So apparently he's not going to be around for Survivor Series. I wonder if he makes a miraculous recovery. And the big question, oh, my God, can poor Triple H, he's coming back too soon. And he's vulnerable. And now he's got to face Kevin Nash because that's the way he wants it. And, oh, can he overcome? That's Triple H. He always overcomes. He's much like John Cena. I mean, once in a blue moon they lose, but it doesn't happen often. It may happen with Nash because it's Hunter's buddy, but at this point I don't even know if Hunter can endorse the idea of just about anyone that matters in WWE losing to Kevin Nash. But Jerry Lawler then recapped the WWE website story that Kevin Nash had been re-signed by John Laurinaitis. I got a lot of emails about that yesterday. I'm just like, you know, it's a storyline. And people were acknowledging that. It's just like, well, whatever. Kevin Nash has been re-signed. I thought he had an ironclad contract that they couldn't. It would have cost him a fortune to get out of or something like that. And then Hunter fired him anyway. So I guess Nash's character is making out like a bandit until he takes a sledgehammer to the head eventually and goes away. Michael Cole stood on the announcer's table and said Jim Ross wouldn't be at the show because he was suffering from inflammatory bowel disease, and he pulled out diapers and said Ross could wear those, and he questioned whether Ross would show up next week, and he says, I guess that just depends, but bump. And so after teasing, one of the things they teased last week was the Michael Cole challenge. They teased it during the show, and then it didn't happen. I would assume they just ran long and cut it. I'm guessing that's how it played out. I can't say that I was too disappointed, but, and whatever. I mean, if it somehow leads to Jim Ross going back on play-by-play and Michael Cole and his heel character just being relegated to SmackDown, great. But seeing is believing. I can't even get excited about these anymore. I mean, I can't even remember the last time I was. They just keep telling us the same story. They get the fans' hopes up because they know the fans like Jim Ross, and then they screw the fans over. And you know, it's more about screwing Jim Ross over and Vince McMahon getting his jollies. But, you know, I mean, Cole is taking shots at the various surgeries that Jim Ross has had. Just more mean-spirited Vince McMahon crap. Back in the luxury box, Statler and Waldorf said the only thing worse than listening to Michael Cole is nothing. But on pump. Backstage, Miss Piggy was into John Morrison's abs. She was rubbing them up, and she was loving that. Nope, pardon me. All right, my apologies. So we were talking about Miss Piggy rubbing up on John Morrison's abs. You ever notice there's kind of a resent? You know, everyone, we've talked about Vicky Guerrero and Miss Piggy a little bit, and that's just kind of WWE stereotype for Vicky, but Melina and Piggy do look a little bit alike in the face, I have to say. she basically wanted John Morrison. He said he had plans, but he had a friend who would go out with her. Enter Hornswoggle, the huge Muppets fan, and he does have legitimate Muppets tattoos, and he planted a big kiss on Piggy, who karate chopped him, and then Kermit showed up, and Hornswoggle ran off. Cody Rhodes then showed up and put a paper bag on Kermit's head. This was fine, you know, for again, you know, if the Muppets had to be on Raw, then this was what you would expect from the Muppets being on Raw. So be it. The Miz then made his entrance. Statler and Waldorf talked about John Cena being next, and Statler did the You Can't See Me bit. Those two were, I gotta say, they were disappointing. They're the characters that can just kind of talk, you know, be negative about everything. Believe me, WWE gives people plenty of material to be negative over, and I thought they would have some fun with that, with those two, but no such luck. And then the ad for SmackDown question whether Mark Henry will give Big Show another title match. So I assume, I don't think we're going to see it on TV, so I would assume they're setting up another title match for Survivor Series. At some point, you would think they would do an elimination Survivor Series match, and so maybe that'll be the idea, is that they go Henry versus Big Show. You know, Henry won't give him the match, and so Show has to earn it at Survivor Series in a traditional elimination tag. Maybe. All right, it's probably going to be Henry versus Big Show at the Survivor Series. John Cena then came out 2 minutes before the top of the hour, and he talked about being the guy who's there every night when he does that little bit where he looks into the camera and talks briefly. He winked and then headed to the ring. And in your Raw main event, it was John Cena defeating The Miz in 8 minutes and 55 seconds. He even beat up R-Truth, because Truth was in the crowd wearing a scream mask, and he tried to interfere, but no, you can't do that. Cena punched the screen, you know, Truth when he was in the screen match, and then went back inside the ring, applied the SDF, and got the submission win. That was it. It's the same guy who nearly beat them in a handicap match. He had Miz hoisted up for the attitude adjustment, and R-Truth hit him with the water bottle of doom. And Cena has more than proven that he is better, you know, bigger, better, badder than R-Truth and The Miz. I have no idea why, in a storyline sense, he would need The Rock to be his partner. Hell, he could have Zack Ryder, he could have Santino Marella. It's been established that The Miz and R-Truth suck compared to John Cena, and they just keep beating us over the head with it. And I know, you know, it's all about Rock and Cena, but hey, why not make the match a little more intriguing by presenting them with a challenge, not just of can they coexist? I mean, that's all there is to it. It's frustrating because I do think that that match would mean more to people if it was, you know, they had some better heels in there, or if Miz and Truth had been built up in a meaningful way, if they weren't like almost every other heel in WWE where they're just of the chicken shit variety. After the match, the guy in the Scream costume entered the ring and was immediately greeted with an attitude adjustment. Cena removed the mask to reveal it was R-Truth, because his painted jeans didn't give it away. Because there's a lot of people out there in the crowd running around with painted jeans. You'd think they would have said, you know, Truth, this would be a good time to wear the jeans without paint on it, just in case that, you know, the outfit you're wearing it comes up. I mean, it was just, I thought this, but Cena ended up, so Cena ended up taking the mask, puts it on, does a You Can't See Me bit over R-Truth, and then played to the crowd to end the show. You know, if you're going to do the Scream bit, it is Halloween, fine, but wouldn't that have been a good spot for Truth and Miz to beat the holy hell out of Cena? I mean, I don't think anyone would have been surprised that it was R-Truth in the Scream outfit, but, I mean, I'm guessing we'll see that maybe over the next couple of weeks where Truth and Miz actually get the better of Cena. Yikes. It's going to be too little too late. They've already cemented that those two can't hang with John Cena in singles matches in hell. They can't even, they have to cheat and get themselves disqualified in a handicap match to hang with this guy. But now we're supposed to take it seriously when, you know, The Rock comes into play. It would be one thing if Miz and Truth were established as a unit that, you know, boy, they've just been untouchable. I mean, somebody's got to kick their ass. Even if they're chicken shits, people want to see them get destroyed. They haven't been built up that way. We see them get destroyed every week on TV. You know, I'm not saying they've got to beat Cena clean on a regular basis. I'm just saying that give us some hook for Miz and Truth, and they're not. Overall, I just, when the show ended, I was happy it ended. The booking on Raw is disastrous. The Muppets, again, they are what they are. You know, if you liked it, you liked it. And if you're not into the Muppets, you probably hated it. And so, you know, that was what it was. But even you just pull the Muppets out of this whole thing, and Rock's promo wasn't memorable. And the Survivor Series hype, I thought, was disappointing. And so overall, I thought it was another mediocre show, unless you're really into the Muppets. WWE, when it comes to Raw anyway, is certainly not firing on all cylinders from a creative standpoint. It continues to be a big disappointment as far as I'm concerned. And they really need to get something going quickly here with the Survivor Series approaching. Only two more Raws to before that event. And, you know, it's The Rock. And boy, if you took The Rock off that show, I don't know what hook they would have for Survivor Series, which plays into the ongoing issue. You bring in Rock, and Rock brings a lot of fans with him that normally don't watch Raw on a weekly basis. And the idea is you bring in a heavy hitter like that, and you present the fans with enough of your regular product that you hope you hook them into sticking around after The Rock leaves. And WWE failed to do that at WrestleMania, and they're going to fail to do it at Survivor Series unless something, you know, if they pull off a Cena heel turn, that could be one thing. But what I'm seeing from WWE creatively on the Raw side of things, I think they're going to fail to do it again at Survivor Series. And then they'll get another crack at it again with WrestleMania, of course, maybe, you know, somewhere in between. But they've got issues. Creative is not good right now. It's very disappointing. And I imagine if they didn't have Rock, what would they go with at WrestleMania that they could sell to people, sell to the masses? Another Cena versus Punk match? You know, I mean, they're damn good matches, but I don't know that they're going to sell WrestleMania just because of the way Punk has been positioned since then. Mark Henry and Daniel Bryan? I mean, you know, those are that's a good upper card match. It's not going to sell the pay-per-view, so thank God they've got The Rock, but they need to take advantage of it and start, you know, really start lining things up, thinking for after Rock and trying to hook viewers while they can. That's going to do it for me for now. Again, I'll be back on the PW Torch livecast this afternoon at 4:30 Central Time, 5:30 Eastern on blogtalkradio.com. Your phone calls are welcome during the 1 hour we're on live. We also stick around for anywhere from a half hour to 40 minutes Just doing a post show that is available exclusively to .NET members and PWTorch.com members. So you can look forward to that if you're a member of either site. And again, if you're interested in signing up for .NET membership to hear all those interviews I discuss and all the audio that we do on the ad-free version of .NET, we also have a members forum that gives you the ability to write your own blogs as well. If you're interested in all those perks of membership, head on over to ProWrestling.net right now. Look on the right side of the page. You can't miss the sign-up area. And for as little as $5.50 a month, if you want to go annual, or $7.50 for 1 month, we just want to try it out, you can have access to all those perks. So until later today, thank you very much for listening, and I will talk to you soon. Take care.